Well, what's happening, people? You're listening to Josh Talks. Thank you for the continued support. Make sure you are all subbed to me on Instagram and Facebook. This week's episode is an absolute cracker. We'll have up-and-coming prospect at Cage Warriors, Nathan Fletcher. Nathan Fletcher is a fighter from Liverpool. Real good guy to talk to. I really enjoyed this episode. We'll talk about his career. And I honestly believe that he's going to go on and do great things. I believe you're going to see him fight for a world title soon on Cage Warriors. And then he's going to go on and do amazing things in the UFC. His last six fights, he's won them all by stoppage. This weekend, he's fighting. Make sure you're all tuning in and watching him. Watch him go 7-0. Now, let's get into the episode. Welcome to Josh Talks. All right, Nathan, how are you?
I'm very good, mate. Thanks for having us on. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Can't complain. Like I was saying to you off air, it's really good weather over here at the moment.
Yeah, it's always better when the sun's out in it. It's the same over here. So we're in good spirits at the minute.
Oh, 100%. I think the best place where I like to start with everybody is, how did your journey begin in MMA?
So I basically started training when I was like, I think it was about 13 or 14 maybe. And I'd never done any combat sports prior to getting into MMA. One of my mates in school, Kieran, was doing it at a small gym in Southport where I live. And I was just always intrigued. I don't know what it was. I was always intrigued by fighting. I wanted to be able to be confident enough in myself. Do you know what I mean? Not that I was ever like in any altercations or anything, but I always thought about that and thought I wanted to be able to defend myself if it ever went that way. And Kieran was basically the hardest lad in our year at school, and he was doing MMA. So I think originally I'd started going to a boxing gym for like a week or two, and then Key caught wind of it and was like, oh, you want to do this MMA? It smiles better than boxing. Like, so he took me to the dog pit, which was the gym we started at. And then it kind of just went from there. I was training there for a few years, and then there was a fella there called Carl McGrath, and he was like a freestyle wrestler. He'd competed for Great Britain and stuff like that back in his day. And he started taking us to all the local wrestling clubs, like in Wigan and Bolton and stuff, which are, you know, not too far from where I live. And so I ended up competing in like freestyle wrestling for a bit. I've done a couple of years of that. And then at about 18, I was like, right, I want to properly get into this MMA now and see if I can have a do with it. So I went to Next Generation then, and that was the best decision I ever made. And then it's just kind of gone from there.
So when you were 18, is that when you decided that this was something that you were going to pursue, or was it always something in the back of your mind?
I think it was ever since I started. I was like, every kid grows up wanting to be a footy player. As soon as I started doing MMA, I was like, oh, I'd love to fight in the UFC. I was watching it every weekend from when I started. I was hooked on it. I used to watch like alpha male training videos on YouTube and all like lower weight class guys, you know, all the training camps and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I was addicted as soon as I started. But yeah, when I was 18, I just finished college and like I didn't do too well with my A levels, and I wasn't really planning on going to uni. So I was like, now's the best time. I may as well go all in on it and see how far I can get.
Can you remember like the first fight that sort of grabbed your attention in the UFC?
The first fight I watched was Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva.
No way. That's what I was going to say. That was the very first fight I ever watched.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
which one was it though? Did you watch the first one or the second one?
I'm actually not quite sure. It was the one where he took the back and started slapping the ears.
Was it the one which it went five rounds and Chael got caught in the last one? Because
yes.
You were a bit before me then, because I actually watched their second fight where Anderson stopped him pretty quick. That was the first UFC fight I ever watched.
I'm trying to remember what channel it used to be on. I remember it was one of those like Freeview sports channels.
Yeah, I remember my mate Kay had like a DVD, like UFC Bedlam or something it was called. It just had like a load of fights on, so I'd watch that a load. I watched that a good few times, like the same fight card just on repeat. But yeah, I can't remember what it used to be on. BT Sport now, innit? So I don't know when they went on there onto BT, but yeah.
So when you were sort of making your rise, when was like you sort of decided to turn pro?
So I did. As an amateur, I did the Cage Warriors Grand Prix. It was like an amateur tournament, And the winner of that got offered a pro contract. And that was like, I only had about 7 amateur fights, but I felt like I'd been training for a lot of time before I actually fought amateur. So I had a good like 6 or 7 years training in me at this point, and like 7 amateur fights. Pretty much all of them had gone my way, apart from the one loss I had, which was a fight I was dominating anyway. And then I made a mistake in the last round and got submitted. But so I just felt like it was a natural progression next to go pro. And obviously it was a big opportunity. Like Cage Warriors offered me a professional contract, because normally you'd have to string together a few pro wins before you get on Cage Warriors radar. But obviously I was able to turn pro with them straight away after that tournament.
I think it's good sometimes getting that loss in your career early on, and then it can sort of show you what you need to improve on.
Yeah, definitely. I think a big thing for me was like strength and conditioning. That fight, I gassed a little bit, and there was like a load of reasons for that. I got injured right before that fight, like 2 weeks before. I hurt my back and I wasn't able to train for the last bit of my camp, but obviously that's not an excuse. I'm not bothered now. That fight was years ago. But I noticed it in that fight. It was the first 5-round amateur fight I'd done, that I got very fatigued. And from that fight onwards, I started taking my S&C a lot more seriously. And I just think everything that comes with that, like putting in the hard work in the gym, getting yourself so conditioned, it's just made me mentally a lot stronger as well. And it's gotten me to where I am now. So I think it was definitely like a benefit in a strange way, getting beat. Do you know what I mean? Like if I hadn't have experienced that, I might have gone on thinking what I'm doing is enough and all that. So it was a good like little wake-up call. Like you say, it's a lesson, isn't it? It teaches you what you need to improve on. So I definitely made the correct changes after that loss.
I think I say this every podcast now. It's one of those ones when you face adversity, it just builds character.
Yeah, definitely. That's funny you say that. I've just read the book, Obstacle is the Way. Have you heard of it, Ryan Holiday?
I haven't, no.
No, that's basically all about that, how adversity hardens you. And how basically, like, our aim is to overcome obstacles and actually use them to our advantage. Do you know what I mean? And make, like, a negative situation, make a positive out of it. And it's so true. Every time you go through hardship or everything that you take as a loss initially, if you flip it on its head, it can actually strengthen you and get you to where you need to be. Do you know what I mean? So that's the mindset you've got to have if you're going to do well in this game.
Yeah, 100%. And we'll talk about your last fight there. And I was listening to your interview on the Energized show, and it was very, very good. Talk to me about how you finished that fight.
Yeah, so that fight was a mad one, to be honest. On fight day, I'd woke up like really ill. I'd had food poisoning from my reload. I basically, stupidly, I brought food preps to eat for after my weighing. And as soon as I got to the hotel, I'd put them in the mini fridge in my room. And 2 days have gone by, and then I've basically clocked that the mini fridge was just a drinks cooler. And it said specifically, don't store food in here. So anyway, I took the food out and thought, yeah, it'll be sound anyway. It is what it is. So I've gone down to the front desk at the hotel and said, can I microwave my meals? And they were like, no, we have a strict no microwave policy or whatever. You can't heat up your food. So I ate it cold, which is pretty stupid. And then ended up getting food poisoning off that. So fight day was just like a constant battle all day in my head, like psyching myself up, being like, come on, I'm going to have to go and do this now. Anyway, we've got this cloak. So I'm not going to let something like this throw me off track. So it was quite an intense day battling in my own head. But then I got in the cage, ended up going 3 fives, literally got the finish right at the end of the third round. It was a tough back and forth fight. The kid I was fighting was very good, Michel Martignoni. He'd just come off a win against Wesley Meyer, where he went 3 rounds against him and come on strong towards the end of the fight. So I knew it was going to be a tough fight, and then it was made even tougher by having food poisoning. Like, but I just stayed on it, stayed what I wanted to do the whole fight, which was take his back, which is what I'm good at. And eventually I persisted and I managed to get the rear naked at the end of the third round, and I was made up.
Having food poisoning is never nice. And I remember, I think I was 17, 18 years old. And so I went over to like Mount Everest base camp, and I was part of, you know, just like walking up the mountain. So it was like 2 weeks of walking, and that was fine. Get up, no problem. Yeah. And on the way down, we were like just eating food, and one of the Sherpas like reheated rice.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that it was reheated rice, and I had it all my days. I've never been so sick in my entire life. I was vomiting nonstop for 6 hours. And it was one of the, we had a plane to catch as well at the bottom of the mountain. So I just had to keep walking. Oh, it was awful. Tragic.
Oh, it's terrible. So, you know, yeah, you know what it's like. You've been through it. It's not a nice feeling. Like, you literally feel. The thing is, as well, I'd just done a weight cut. So, I was like, everything I'd put back in my body was coming up. You know what I mean? On fight day. So, I was like, depleted. I couldn't hold anything down fight day. So, it was a bad start to the day, to say the least. But we got through it. So, it's all good.
I can just imagine. I imagine you were very dehydrated going into that fight.
Yeah, I probably would have been, to be honest. That's all I was trying to do fight day, was sip on electrolytes just so I could keep, you know, all the salt and potassium and that in me, and try not to be dehydrated. But any food I tried to eat, I couldn't keep anything down. I was throwing up, I was on the toilet. It was bad, like. But I'm half glad it happened now, because I've got through that. I know that next time when I come to fight and I feel fueled up and fresh, and I do me reload properly and I don't get food poisoning, I'm just going to feel 10 times better and even more confident getting in the cage. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It gives you another dimension as well, where you can look back and say, well, I went through that, so I can't get much worse.
Exactly. Yeah. It's funny because have you ever seen Michael Jordan's documentary, The Last Dance, on
Oh yeah, it's
Netflix?
sick. Really, really good.
Yeah. Brilliant. So I watch that all the time. Like, every fight camp, every time I've got a fight coming up, I try and watch through that, just because I love his mindset. And I think you can take a lot from it. And in one of the episodes that I literally watched this episode fight week. So, what good timing. And it was the episode where he has food poisoning and he goes out, and it's an important game, and he ends up, you know, scoring a load of baskets and winning the game for his team. So, the fact that I'd watched that like a few days before, and then it happened to me, I was literally in my head all day on fight day, just going, come on, Michael Jordan mentality. He went and done it when he was sick. You can do it. And yeah, I was able to overcome it and get the job done. So, all good now.
Do you remember during like the documentary? This is the part that always sticks out to me. Like they're all like gambling on the bus, or it's the airplane, and they're all gambling. And he's like betting with like all his rich friends, and then he goes down and starts gambling with the boys who maybe aren't on as much money. And then they're like, well, why are you gambling with us? Like we're gambling for like $1, $2. And he's just like, I just wanna win. Just wanna know that your money's
Literally.
in my pocket.
Yeah, brilliant. He's got a crazy mindset, Annie, but that's what you've got to have if you want to be great at something. He's so competitive, you know what I mean? Even like for that, he was already gambling big money with the other players, and then he goes down to the front of the bus and starts trying to win dollar bills off all the other players and that. So yeah, he's got a crazy mindset, but I love it. And like I say, every time I've got a fight coming up, I try and rewatch as much of that as I can. So it just gets me in the Michael Jordan frame of mind.
Well, talking on mindset, do you think there's any ways that you can improve your mindset and sort of work your mind out to make it stronger?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously hard training, you know what I mean? The more you push yourself in the gym, the more you're going to be mentally strong. It's like, how many times can you put yourself in an uncomfortable position? Because ultimately, you know, when you're getting in the cage, it's going to be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? You're very rarely going to have a fight where you feel comfortable. So I try and just go to that dark place as often as possible and get used to it. And you just build up like a bulletproof mind to where whatever comes at you, you just get on with it. You know what I mean? You just deal with it. And obviously, there's other ways. You can do it through like reading books and watching documentaries on other mentally strong athletes or mentally strong business people or whatever, and just try and take little tips and inspirations from them. But for me, the majority of my mindset comes from how hard I work in the gym. And I know that I'm outworking all my future opponents. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. Do you ever listen to the Joe Rogan podcast?
Yeah, I do. I've listened to it less recently since it's on Spotify. But I do listen to it, yeah.
There was an episode where it was quite recently. He had Max Holloway on, and Max Holloway was like sort of talking about mindset, and he says you need that passport to crazy land. That's where you need to be
Yeah.
going, and that's where he was
Yeah.
sort of talking like how he prepares, like just going to that really dark place and living
Yeah.
there through fight camp. He says like
Yeah.
fight camp is completely different from him and the rest of his life. You know, it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. I think you've got to be able, obviously, like, I mean, you're getting in there to have a fight. You've got to treat it like life or death at the end of the day. They're coming to knock you out cold, and embarrass you in front of all your friends and family, and, you know what I mean, everyone who supports you. And like, this is what I want to do full time for a living. I want to be in the UFC, making loads of money, being the best in the world. So every time I'm stepping in there, my opponent's trying to stop my dreams from coming true. And that's the mindset I go in with it. Do you know what I mean? It's all or nothing. And you have got to go to that dark place where you're willing to literally die to get the win. I know once that cage door's shut, he's literally going to have to put me out cold to stop me from coming for him to finish him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's such a tough environment. It's completely, like, combat sports is completely different from every other sport in the world.
Definitely, yeah. But it's the consequences, do you know what I mean? Like, another sport, you lose a game, it is what it is, do you know what I mean? But you lose a fight, you can get hurt really bad. And, like, long-term effects, there's brain damage and everything you've got to take into account. Like, we're putting our... And your body, you've got to put your body through. Literally, all the fight camps just breaks your body down. It's probably not healthy what we're doing, do you know what I mean? But you're fighting at the end of the day, so it's not going to be good for you, is it? But that's why your mindset's so important. You've got to have that mental strength to get through all that and come out on top.
Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, and I think it was one of your first pro fights, and it was Cage Warriors 110, 110, and your friend Kieran and Cork. I think Reese McKee was headlining the card. How did you find that whole experience fighting in Ireland?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I fought in Ireland already. I fought in Belfast the year before when I was an amateur. When I did that Grand Prix, I come over and fought Lochran, you know, to be honest with him. Caelan Lochran, is it? Mm-hmm. So I come over to Belfast and fought in the Devonish there, if you know where that is. So it's good. It was good atmosphere. That Cork was going off, to be honest. Like, when I got there, because I was fighting on the main card, I got there a bit later on, and there was amateur fights going on still, but the crowd was full, do you know what I mean, going mad for these, like, amateur fighters. So it was a brilliant atmosphere. I really enjoyed it. I took, like, a good little group of my close mates over, and my family and my girlfriend and all that come over. So it was a nice little weekend away for them. And then after the fight, I got to enjoy Saturday night with them and a bit of Sunday, going around and walking around Cork and that. So I really enjoy fighting away, because you can make, like, a good little experience out of it. Do you know what I mean?
It's one of those things. Like, I remember I was talking to Rodney Moore, and Rodney Moore would be Reese's coach. And he was sort of talking about, like, all of his life and all the different places that he's traveled. And he says, like, you know, with fighting, he's made so many friends in so many different parts of the world. It's just crazy. You know, he always has somewhere to go.
Yeah, definitely you do. Like, I went and trained in California a few years ago, trained at Alpha Male. And I met a few fighters out there that I still keep in touch with today. Do you know what I mean? This was probably like 3 years ago now. Met, like, an Australian lad, a couple of French fighters and stuff like that. And still speak to them today, follow them on Instagram. One of them's in the UFC now, actually. Faraz Ziam, his name is. I don't know if I pronounced that name right, but he's a French fighter. He's fighting on the Adesanya card next week. So, yeah, you just meet, you know what I mean, like-minded people from all over the world. It's pretty cool to meet someone that lives in France, but is exactly the same as me, same sort of mindset, same sort of goals and that. So it is cool.
How'd you find Team Alpha Male?
I enjoyed it. I went for like 2 weeks. And I was, obviously, I was an amateur at the time. But I did enjoy it. It was good. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a hostile environment at all. Like, I got in straight away. I was rolling with Uriah Faber, like, one of the first nights I got there. You know what I mean? We were all just in the mix. I was sparring all the pro guys. And he did look after you. Yeah. So it was a good experience. Yeah, I'd probably go back there at some point, but if I was to go away again, I'd want to go and try another gym out, do you know what I mean, and see what it's like elsewhere. But there's loads of places I want to go. I want to go and train in Thailand and everything. I want to go to TriStar in Canada, loads of different gyms. I'd like to go to Stanford MMA, where Michael Chandler and all them lot train. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in the next few years.
We'll have to talk to you about your next fight. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, so I'm fighting Brian Bouland in literally 3 weeks today. I see me getting the finish again, definitely. Just going to go out there, put my game on him. Obviously, I'm aware of what he's good at, but I don't like to focus too much on my opponents. I know what I'm good at, ultimately. And I know if I go in there 100% and put my game on people, I'm going to beat pretty much everyone in Europe at this stage. So I'm going to go in there confident, do my thing, put my game on him, and put a heavy pace on him and get that finish.
For the people who don't know at home, in your last 5 fights, you've finished every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sick record. So, it's very, very good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, like, obviously, every fight I'm looking for the finish. You want to be exciting like that. I don't really think, like, oh, I'm going to go and finish to be, you know, exciting and, exciting for the fans and stuff like that. But I just think that's my style. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm in the gym, I'm always hunting for submissions. I'm always hunting for, like, a dominant position to where I can get the finish. And I think another reason why I finish a lot of people is my conditioning. I'm a lot fitter than everyone I'm fighting, so I can go in there and put a pace on them that they just can't match, and then eventually they wilt under the pressure, and I always seem to get that finish. So I'll be doing the same in 3 weeks' time.
Well, I wish you every success, man. I know you're going to do super. We'll finish up on the last couple of questions. So I sort of what I like to do is discuss upcoming fights and get your predictions on them. All right, so we'll start off.
I was going to say I'm terrible at this. I always pick wrong, but go on, we'll try it.
Right, I'll give you this one. So the first one is, did you hear that Jake Paul versus Woodley?
Oh, yeah, I did.
How do you see it going?
I don't know why, but I've just got a feeling that this Jake Paul kid's going to knock him out. You know, like, I just feel like he's going to beat him. I don't know what it is. Obviously, Tyrone was very good back in his day. I think he's a little bit past it now. That's also one. He was a UFC champ, wasn't he? Like, if he gets beat off Jake Paul, it does not look good for the sport. But Jake's a lot bigger than him, and he has got power. Do you know what I mean? I know, obviously, Ben Askren's a crab when it comes to striking. But I'm going to go Jake Paul. Yeah. I probably shouldn't be in an MMA fighter. Like, my money's on Jake Paul.
The money's on Jake Paul. I was looking at, they were doing like some sort of face-off. And see, when you put the two of them next to each other, Jake Paul looks massive.
Yeah, he's a big kid. He is. And Tyrone was what, fighting at 170? This Jake Paul's probably like cutting weight to make 190. Do you know what I mean? So he's a big kid. And don't be wrong, Tyrone's obviously got power at 170, but his conditioning's always been a bit of a, you know what I mean, a bit of a question mark. And I don't know, this Jake kid might just go in and not really respect him like he's been doing to the other kids he's fighting. And I don't know why, but I've just got a feeling it's going to be one of them where, like, fuck's sake, Jake Paul just knocked out another UFC fighter. Do you know what I mean?
But who does he fight after this? You know, like, he can't fight like Slouches anymore. He has to, like, he's already fighting Woodley, so where's he go after that?
I think they do the fight with that Tommy Fury kid, you know, the one off Love Island,
because
he's a pro boxer. Obviously, they're both like social influencer type people, so I think that'll be the fight to make.
It's such a weird place to be in when you've got Tyson Fury calling out Jake Paul for his
hello.
It's a weird place to be in.
It is crazy. I quite like it though, to be honest. You know what I mean, it's entertaining. Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, like we're saying that this Jake Paul's not actually a bad boxer. Like, don't get me wrong, he's definitely not like a professional boxing level, but he's not terrible. You know what I mean? He can punch, and he's training hard. You've got to think how much money he's got. He's paying the best trainers. He's getting the best recovery. He doesn't have to work, does he? So all day, every day, he's focusing on his boxing training. You're bound to get good if you're like a half-decent athlete, which he looks like he is. Mm-hmm. So fair play to him. All the other bloody YouTuber matches that they're doing at the minute, they're a bit mad, but again, they're entertaining, aren't they? It's funny to see.
I think ultimately it's very good for boxing, because for a while, like, boxing wasn't doing too good really outside of the heavyweights and Canelo.
Yeah, I agree. But the UFC is kind of taking over, isn't it? But this kind of puts the light back on boxing. But then the argument is it making a mockery of it? Do you know what I mean? Having like YouTubers who have been training a year or two coming in and selling big fights, do you know what I mean? And marketing it as like an actual pro boxing fight. It's a bit of a gimmick, isn't it? But is what it is. Fair play to them, do you know what I mean?
Well, I think so. I think part of the problem is if you look at the UFC, you know, if you're the champion, you're going to be fighting one or two.
Yeah.
And then in boxing, like, it's really, you could really fight anyone, like.
Yeah, whoever they can bring in for you, really, innit? To pad your record.
Yeah.
But we'll it is weird, that boxing. I don't know why they go down that route, but it's the way they've always done it, isn't it? So
I think it's money. It's all money. All money. Protect the fighters. Protect the record.
That's it.
So then we've got Adesanya versus, I hope I pronounce it right, Vettori.
Yeah, man, sorry. Their first fight was very close, but I think Adesanya gets it done, to be honest. I think he's too skilled for Vettori. I think he'll have a better read on him after being in there with him for 5 rounds already. He's a very intelligent fighter, Adesanya. And I think the fact that they've already fought and had a close fight will play more into Adesanya's favour than it will into Vettori's favour. So I think Adesanya gets it done.
Did you see Adesanya's fight versus Costa? And did you see it play out that way?
Yeah, I did see their fight. I can't remember how I thought it would go, really. But in hindsight, you could kind of see that that's the way it was going to go. Costa was, he's an explosive striker, isn't he? But Adesanya is so well skilled in the stand-up. He's got a lot more experience with stand-up fights. He's had however many kickboxing fights. And he's just so technical. But he made that fight look easy, really, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. His fight IQ is next level. It's very, very good.
That's it, yeah. High fight IQ, definitely.
But do you know, I think it's mad now, looking back at it, that he wanted to fight John Jones?
Yeah, did he really want to fight John Jones, though? You don't know. Do you know what I mean? He could have been saying that online, but whether or not, if it was presented to him, he'd take it. However, someone like Adesanya, who's already achieved great things, you could be thinking, you know, why not? Why not take that risk and try and fight Jones? It's a big fight. You could have got a big payday for it. But yeah. after you watched him against Blachowicz, do you know what I mean? Blachowicz isn't known as a wrestler. You can kind of see how John Jones would have just dealt with him. But again, he's a middleweight. Do you know what I mean? John Jones is looking like a heavyweight nowadays. So he's up against it already. And he never mind going up against the best ever at that weight class.
Have you seen that John Jones' Instagram? Like, that's crazy. It's just him with his guns and his dogs.
I know. He's mad, isn't he? He's like Tim Kennedy. He's always on the gun range, training big guard dogs. But I suppose they're his hobbies, aren't they, outside of fighting? So
exactly. Don't we break into his house?
I know. Wasn't there a story? Was that true? That didn't someone try and break into his house?
I have no idea. But there was something with Derek Lewis. Someone tried to break into his.
Yeah.
You should be trying to break into anyone's house or anyone's car. But definitely not that man.
No. Imagine. I bet he felt bloody stupid when he realised, you know what I mean, whose it was. Did Lewis knock him out? Yeah.
Yeah, and then he wrote, he's okay.
Boss, that. He's a sick man, Derek Lewis, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he's very good. I'll let you go on this fight. So this is the one I'm looking forward to the most. It's the rematch, Poirier versus McGregor.
Yeah, big fight. I'll be honest, I'm going to go with Poirier again. I know you probably won't like me for that, being Irish, but... I just think it's too short a time for Conor to make the adjustments. Do you know what I mean? Like, they only fought at the start of this year. The first couple of weeks are going to just be based around recovery, aren't they, for Conor? Because he took a bit of a beating. Like, his leg was probably battered. So I'm just wondering, like, how much better can he get in between now and then? Do you know what I mean? It was pretty convincing performance by Poirier. Anyway, I could see Conor winning, his catching him early and putting him away. But Poirier's so durable. And that obviously didn't work in the second fight they had. So I think Poirier takes the third one.
If you look at, like, from watching early McGregor, it's almost like a karate stance. And then in this fight, he was very, very upright.
He was, yeah. He's standing a lot more like a boxer now, isn't he? Because he's brought in his boxing coach. So a lot of his training is... But you can't, I don't understand, like, he's obviously a very smart man. Do you know what I mean? He was the champ. Like, why is he thinking that he's bringing in a boxing coach who's making him punch like a boxer? Like, it's not boxing. Do you know what I mean? We're doing MMA. It's completely different. So it's weird how he has completely changed up his style, hasn't he? It is a mad one. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he thinks like he's sitting on his shots better. You don't know what's going on inside the gym. Has he got a lot of yes men around him telling him, like, yeah, this is, you're looking good, you're better than ever. And like, if his sparring partner's kind of respecting him too much, because that can happen. Do you know what I mean? When you reach the top of the sport, no one wants to offend you or put it on you, so you can have it, you know, a lot easier, and you're not having to go to that dark place as often as you used to. That could have been what's happened with McGregor. At the end of the day, how do you stay motivated when you've done what he's done?
Yeah, I was listening to one of his interviews, and it was like his whole goal was like to create generational wealth. You know, it's just going to keep passing on and passing on, and I think he's done that. You know, like his grandkids' kids won't want for anything. Literally. You know, like, he's completely changed his whole family's life.
Definitely, yeah. So you've already done it, you know what I mean? You've done what you came into the sport to do. So it's one of them, isn't it? How do you get up in the morning and motivate yourself to train as hard as someone who hasn't achieved anything yet? Do you know what I mean? For me, it's easy. I wake up every day and I've got nothing. I want to be there where he is. So every single day I'm working my ass off to get to that position, but he's already there. So you've just got to question whether or not he's putting it in like he used to. I guess we'll see, won't we? That's the good thing about fighting. We'll find out in July.
Yeah, we're going to know. But thank you very much for your time. I'll let you go and get the sauna. Thank you very much. Been great. It's been great having you in, and I'm rooting for you, and hopefully my listeners are too.
is right. Thanks, mate. Nice one for having us on. I appreciate you getting me on.
Not a problem, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Go on. See you soon.
See you soon, mate. Bye-bye.